This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love When Calls the Hearts.
Hey, I'm Panda. I like When Calls the Hearts.
I'm Dan. We're doing this quick. I despise When Calls the Heart, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. What up, what up, what up?
Man, that was our quickest intro ever. We were
lightning there. Let's just get to it. What are we waiting for here?
It's like ripping a Band-Aid off. Let's just go, guys.
Let's just go. That is what When Calls the Heart is like these days, isn't it? Every time you sit down, you're like, it's a 42-minute Band-Aid. We just got to rip that sucker off.
I saw a 42-minute Band-Aid live.
Dude, they were unbelievable.
This is an interesting thing about them. If they go a minute under or over 42 minutes, you get your money back.
That's right. And they guarantee it every time.
They guarantee it every time.
Dude, were you there the one time, Miller House, where they did it?
Yes.
Went 4301?
Of course I was at Miller. Yes. You were there?
That was great. We all got a refund.
You were there?
I wasn't there.
Yeah, of course I was there.
I just heard stories. That's why I asked you.
Oh, my gosh. There was the fire. So
you can
only do so much.
That's right. That's why they went over.
Right. Well, because the time doesn't stop for fire.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
Mm. So you have to wait till the fire gets extinguished.
That's why they went over by 1 second.
Yes.
Okay.
It was bad.
But it made the second half of the set fascinating because they were trying to speed it up for time.
Yeah. They played all of their songs at double speed, and it was confusing, but it was great. Really talented band.
Got a clip.
Band-Aids.
You know what's wild is not only do they throw in Band-Aids from their band name, which is something a lot of bands do that we talk about on this show more than I think exists, but also at regular speed.
Oh my gosh.
At regular speed, they're still pretty freaking fast. Sometimes you want.
I love that band, man. They're amazing. Where was that again? What venue?
Miller House.
At
Skokie Park.
Wow.
Yeah. I wasn't even there. You should know this. You were there.
No, I thought you said something about 103rd.
No. No, nothing.
No. Hey, Rick.
Hello.
How you doing, pal?
Hey, Big Three. How's it going?
Fitzy's, I understand, is going to start doing live music.
Oh, I can't wait.
Who do you guys have lined up?
Big T and the Brass Time Band. Now,
you've been booking the bands, right?
I have been booking the bands. Okay. A lot of the hard hitters, Big Knucklers, you've heard of.
I have not heard of Big Knucklers.
No. Big Knucklers is not a band, you doofus.
Oh, interesting.
Big Knucklers means you're big time.
Okay,
you got big knuckles.
You said a lot of them you've heard of. Big knuckles.
They're big knucklers.
Big knucklers.
They're big knucklers. Panda's with me.
Is big knucklers a phrase, Panda?
Oh, big time. Big knucklers.
They're big knucklers.
Okay,
anyways. Like, for instance, 42 Minutes to Band-Aids.
Yes, right.
Big knuckler. Everybody's heard of them.
Of course.
That's right. Big T and the Brass Time Band.
Right.
Yeah.
Kelly Stank. You've heard of the Stank?
Of course.
You've heard of the Stank,
right? On Christmas.
Yeah. Swizzle Sticks.
Interesting.
Swizzle Sticks is a big deal. Phenomenal. Can't believe
you got Swizzle Sticks?
I got Swizzle Sticks. I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
Fitzy doesn't strike me as the EDM crowd, but good on them.
They're what now?
They're EDM.
Oh, Fitzy's going to be pissed.
You didn't know who Swizzle Sticks was?
The Swizzle Sticks that I've heard has a mop bucket for a bass. Different Swizzle Sticks?
Different Swizzle Sticks.
Oh, no. No wonder it cost us a fortune.
How much they cost you?
I don't want to talk about it. No. Trace handles it.
Yep. We're in the black.
Can we get to When Calls the Heart, please?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to?
Big Knucklers, sure.
Big Knucklers. This episode is Big Knucklers.
It is. Y'all. Every time we do When Calls the Heart, it's Big Knucklers.
All right, guys. I watched this episode, I think, on Tuesday, so I'm almost a week removed. Dan, you watched it on Wednesday. When did you watch this episode?
I watched it last night.
Okay, great. Yeah. So maybe you'll be able to answer this week. What's the name of this episode? Using the things that you know about the context clues.
Art of the Heart.
Ooh, Art of the Heart.
Damn. I'm going to go with, and this is going to sound off the beaten path, the Ace of Spades.
Ooh. Hearts and Minds.
Oh,
Hearts and Minds.
Hearts and Minds.
Originally aired on February 24th, 2018, and it went a little something like this. Elizabeth discovers for the first time in her entire life that her sister Julia is good at art. Abigail finds out that they're not going to build a railroad depot in Hope Valley. Do you guys remember the railroad storyline?
They're not going to do it now.
It's back, baby. They're just not going to build it. They said, we're not going to do this anymore. And she's like, you can't do that. And the railroad guy's like, watch me. Railroad guy is like, it's not personal. It's business. Abigail tells Bill she has to convince him. So do whatever you have to do to keep him in town. Julia is teaching an art class. And Elizabeth is surprised that her sister isn't completely blowing it. Dottie's back. And we all remember she is in business with Rosemary. Yes, you guys know the clothes. You guys remember the business. Abigail tells Bill she has to convince. I already said that. Word has gotten out about the railroad, so people will start wondering: one, is Abigail good at mayoring, and two, is she even cut out for this job? So Bill ends up tampering with the railroad guy's car. Totes legal, I'm sure. Bill's always on the up and up.
Yep.
Dottie goes out of town, so Rosemary starts giving people 40% off discounts on dresses. It's going to be fine. Julie finds out that kids are emotionally complex people, and she is shocked by this. So there's this the lady who got the 40% off, not good enough. She returns it and says, my husband said I can't afford this even at the 40% off. Rosemary's sad by this. Rosemary's sad to find out that people are poor. Julie is grading papers and is giving A's to anyone who tries. Elizabeth is like, you dummy, you get an F. Julie is like, man, teaching's tough. Rosemary gives the poor lady the pattern for the dress and says, make it yourself. It's nicer than it sounds. When Dottie finds out, Dottie decides there's a way that we can monetize this whole design Dottie. To the less fortunate angle. I love it. It's good for business. When the husband sees the dress, he's like, ooh, I like ye. The townspeople meet with the railroad guy. Lee plays hardball and tells the guy, if you don't build the depot in Hope Valley, I'm not going to use the railroad to transport lumber. And that guy's like, you're bluffing, right? Lee's like, I hope so. No, he's like, some things are more important than money, like doing the right thing. Amen.
Amen.
Railroad guy's like, sorry, there's nothing I can do. So Elizabeth then brings in all the children. And she's like, look at their faces. Just look at them. Look at them. Look at those eyes. This is the future you're ruining. So just look at them. And then Cody gives a nice lecture about how important your word is. Your word's your bond. The next day, Julia announces, teaching might not be for me. And Elizabeth's like, you think? And she's like, I'm going to pursue my dream of being an artist. And Elizabeth does not try to talk her out of that. Then it comes out in the paper that the Mounties are, you know, like fighting again or something serious. Is Jack dead yet? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But the good news is, guys, the depot is going to be built in Hope Valley after all. And that, my friends, was When Calls the Hard, Hearts and Lies.
I forgot it already.
We did,
the
everybody.
The Ace of Spades.
Yeah, I'd say. let's take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll come back and we'll break this episode down with four segments here on
Deck the Home
Deck the Home Art.
What is happening, Tracy? Every time.
There's an elephant in the studio.
An actual elephant?
Yes.
No.
Nah, I lied. Just me. It's my New Year's weight. A lot of people put on weight around the holidays. I wait until the new year hits.
Not touching.
And I eat nothing but cheese.
Trace, you look great. I'm not touching that one.
How great? Tell me. Use words.
You
map it out.
You're glowing.
Okay. I'm not pregnant.
I see.
Wow. She's on.
That's the problem. Tried to help.
You can't win with her.
No, you can't. That is true. We've been trying for years.
Guys, let's talk about this. Let's do four segments. Let's start with the hot take. Panda, this episode of When Calls the Heart, season 5, episode 2, word is your bond. Is this episode your bond?
stay tuned till after the break. What's happening here?
So several years ago, my wife and I, during one of the snowstorms, it iced us in, and we decided, we didn't live far at the time from Walmart, so we decided to go walk to see if Walmart was open, and we walked, we fell multiple times on the way. It was actually a pretty laborious journey, and we got all the way to Walmart only to realize that Walmart was closed.
You guys didn't call Walmart first?
No, we did not.
Yeah, I got nothing for you there, buddy.
Well, no, we did call. We did call, but it just kept ringing. But we said, why don't we just go and see anyway? And so we walked all the way back. And that was a completely meaningless journey, very much similar to the meaningless journey we have taken with When Calls the Heart so far, and this episode in particular, which was also incredibly meaningless in every capacity. What you have with this show is absolutely the dumbest thing. Why do we need a railroad story? I don't know.
Brandon can't get over the Walmart story, I don't think.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it.
We walked. It was a trip. We wanted just to see what was open.
You nothing fell a lot, huh?
Fell a lot. It was icy. It was back in 2013 or 14.
Dude, that I was slipping all over the place today.
Yeah.
I agree with you this week, Panda. We're two episodes in and...
meaningless.
So the railroad, this whole storyline in this episode is pointless.
Yes.
Because he comes into town and says, we're not doing it anymore. By the end of it, he says, we're doing it again.
We're going to do it.
Julia, who came into town last week to be a teacher, she's like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm leaving. So we have been set up with for episode 3. Nothing. Nada. We got nowhere to go aside from Jack dying. So.
You got it.
That's tough, huh? Isn't it, everybody? Yeah, Mountie's out there dying. And so that's.
Jack, I guess, is dead?
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah. I mean, they got to do the dirty at some point. So we know he comes back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they got to get married.
They
got
to get married. They got to do the dirty.
Yeah, they would never before marriage.
And then he's got to go die.
That's right.
So. At some point, and that, you know, at this.
There's 8 episodes left.
Yeah.
They got us a lot to do.
There's 8 episodes left, and these 2 episodes served no purpose. And that's unfortunate because I was really high last week on the episode. I really enjoyed it.
You were really high last week when you watched it?
No.
Okay.
I was not.
All right.
Unfortunately.
I think you guys are adorable reasoning with this show like it's real television. Like, I really think that's funny. That's admirable of both of you. Guys, this show will always double down on boring, stupid, meaningless plots. And every time you think it won't, you're just wrong. Every time they offer you a glimmer of something like, is that a taste of character development? Is that a whiff of danger? It's just a mirage. It's a facade, guys. This show means nothing. It does nothing. It produces nothing. It is nothing. And this episode is the epitome of all of those things. The idea of putting a tree in the middle of a town where cars are supposed to drive by, where people can actually believe their wishes are granted, makes more sense than the 42 minutes we spent this week in the Valley of the Vision of Hope or wherever it is. I can't imagine a more senseless waste of time than what we did this week. By minute 10, I was ready to hang it up. I just hated it. Every second of it. It's awful. I'm still mad that Judge James Brolin got off the stagecoach at the end of season 1 and we never saw him again. I'm still mad about it. This show deserves to die a slower death than Mountie Jack.
Oh,
I said it. I'm out.
It's time for all the fields.
And if you skip me in the field, so help me. So help me.
All right, I won't skip you. It's time for all the feels. Panda?
I had shocked feels when Cody was giving his grand speech because that kid hasn't strung together more than one intelligible sentence this whole season. He gave the speech of a lifetime.
Man.
Yeah, he's not as dumb as we all thought. Good job, Cody.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really have any feels in this episode. I guess the closest I have is, you know, at the end. So, and that's unfortunate.
I was pretty sad for the railroad guy, who clearly had a good financial decision he was making on his hands and got full Sarah McLachlan by a bunch of like pound puppy kids, for no reason other than they all banded together to make sure that this guy who's trying to make a living did things their way to help them. And I felt sad for this entrepreneur who's probably just stuck as a cog in the, you know, wheel of big business and trying to make ends meet. And he's over there getting hoodooed by a bunch of kids they're trying to pass off as orphans. It was miserable. I was miserable for the guy that was trying to move business elsewhere.
They're not orphans, but they have all lost their dads. And Cody was an orphan.
Yeah.
So there's some orphans.
There are.
Saw some orphans live. They coming to the 50s?
They are not. Did not make the list.
It's tough.
We don't do any three-piece bands.
You only do three-piece
bands? No, we don't do any.
Oh, wow.
You can't be a three-piece band, not here.
That's crazy.
Right? Get your fourth piece. Make it a meal.
What in the world is happening?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's fun. Crazy. Technology, sorry. Get yourself a meal. It's time for Wait What. This is our show. We talk about things in the Wait What's. Panda?
They start off the episode, the mayor, and I don't even care about their name, Bill, whatever his name is. And they're talking about how they can make budget. And they talk about how they don't need to get new mattresses for the jail. And I just want to point out that every single time we've ever seen the jail, there's only one bunk.
There's one mattress. Yeah.
There's one mattress. Like, if your town is that in dire straits, like, maybe you should get shut down.
It's weird. You know, Andy Taylor, not once in the Andy Griffith Show, in the 100 years that was on the air, not once talk about the budget for a mattress for the jail cell. Not once.
Not once. The lawyer is working on behalf of the client. He has no jurisdiction on whether or not a contract does or does not get approved, correct? Like, he has
correct.
Nothing. And so literally all their speechifying and everything that they do and their pontificating means nothing, right?
Nothing.
Like, that's it, right?
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for everyone, that the lawyer has no power to do anything other than just present the bad news. Okay. And then the final thing, and I don't know what was happening here. Her sister, Elizabeth's sister at one point, has a blindfold on, and the kids are playing a game where they just tap her on the shoulder, and then she turns around, and then somebody pokes her on the other side, and they just keep poking her back and forth while she has a blindfold on. And I don't understand. I don't understand what
you
the game
get
is.
It, man. You wouldn't get it.
Just, it's the weirdest.
The 1920s and 10s were tough. They're tough times.
Hey,
you know that they're like, this episode, the more that I'm thinking about it, is like, they're like, well, we got 9 solid ones, boys. We need one more episode.
But you
and
know.
They literally are just pulling stuff. Like, we got 3 minutes left. We're so close. What if Elizabeth gets in a blindfold like the birdhouse and she just spins in a circle and they just jab her? Okay,
but you know the guy, kids in the 1920s though, look at us and we're at night. So you just scroll Netflix and you just do it over and over again?
Yeah.
And that's it? Yeah, it's the same thing. I poke you with a stick and you turn around.
It's not the same thing. I stand by. I mean, listen.
No, that's a white one. That is a white one.
It is a white one. Yeah. I love that game. I'll start with Julie. Julie? Whatever. She's grading papers. Mm-hmm. And she's just giving A's. And she writes A on a little girl's paper. And Elizabeth comes up and she's like, you can't just give A's.
And so she's giving them in art.
Yeah. Yeah. She can't, you can't just give A's.
In art.
Yeah.
I would say 70%. Look.
In Elizabeth's defense here, she said, you got to draw a person. Now, what she drew was beautiful, but there is not a person on that paper.
Pan and I work at a school where we have an amazing art teacher, like amazing, just so good. But art can sometimes fall into that weird elective where the person doing it is an artist themselves, but isn't a teacher. And they grant A's like, you know.
Sure.
Like they're just, it's their job, like breathing in. Like that is common. That's like her saying this in the 1912s, 15s, twins, whatever. Like
but that's not my point. My point is what happens after, which is she takes that little girl's A and she makes it into a B.
Yeah, that's tough.
And this poor little girl is going to get her paper back and she's going to be like, is that an A?
Did they make that a B?
They make that because a pointy sure B? Does look like that. Sure does look like an A that you made a B, Julia.
Not only that, they drop her to a B minus.
I know.
Come on, man.
She did a B and then she looked at Elizabeth and was just like,
minus? That's like at least a 10, 12 point drop. I mean, that's serious. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
I mean,
how old is this girl? Like, it's not like she's 17 and it's like, draw a face. Here's not a face.
Here's trees.
This girl is like in single digits years old. Dear gracious.
Education was better back then.
It was. They knew how to educate kids back then.
My last one. I think this is Cody. It could be Abigail. I think it's Cody. It sounds like something Cody would say. Cody says they signed a contract, which is like giving your word. Cody, a contract is infinitely better than your word.
It really is.
It is not like your word.
I've watched a lot of TV court cases.
That's exactly right.
We have a lot of fun here.
You want a surefire way to get money?
Paperwork.
Contract. You want a surefire way to not get it?
I said it.
Word.
That's right.
It is not like your word.
It isn't. You can go back on your word whenever you want. You shouldn't. You should be a man of your word, but you can.
It's just like your word.
Won't hold up in a court of law. Won't do it.
Which, they signed a contract.
But the contract will hold up in a court of law.
It really will.
Yeah. But they got lawyers.
Yeah, they do.
What can you do?
They got lawyers.
Can we talk about the kid that goes to Elizabeth's school named Robert? Because every time we turn around,
Robert,
this guy is a dill hole.
Yeah, he's a dill hole.
He is just absolutely just scrapping it up. Every time this kid is in an episode, he's beating the crap out of somebody.
Robert's still on the show, by the
way. He's pranking somebody. Nope. He's doing something he shouldn't do. And every week I feel like he learns his lesson to turn around to just be a dillweed again.
Was Robert snail? Was Robert behind the snail?
He had to be at
That's
least
such in, a in Robert hijinks. Move.
It's so slow.
Robert
You'll
might
never see it coming. Good gosh. Come on, can somebody just get a hold of Robert? Does he need to go to military school? What's happening?
I think he does.
I mean, come on. I know that Bill Avery is just there and just adjacent to the show in general, but as the sheriff, does it not bother anyone that he's just committing crime after crime to keep at the behest of the mayor, the sheriff is committing crime after crime to keep this rail depot guy in town. Maybe Hope Valley, you're the problem. You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not all these other people. Maybe it's you. Maybe nobody wants to be around your terrible Robert children and your crooked mayor and not law-abiding sheriff. Maybe Hope Valley, you're full of crooks. Maybe that's happening. At one point, Rosemary in this episode,
I
need to get that off my chest. At one point in this episode, Rosemary, and I get what Rosemary's deal is. I get what her bit is. I want to be clear. But she says, men aren't emotionally sophisticated creatures. Generally, you can't get more out of them than a nod. Oh, guys, we don't have to set back television because we're setting television in the 1910s. In the 1900s, people knew that both men and women were morally complex. Like, this is bonkers. This is a dumb sentence for anyone to say. It's a dumb sentence.
You guys can't see me nodding, but I'm nodding.
But here's the other
thing.
That's
what I do. I'm a man.
That's right.
And I nod.
I nod.
It's not good for podcasting.
Sean says fitzy. Like, what are we doing fitzies, here? Plural. It does. You're right.
This is Fitzy's place.
But I will say that, you know, most of these characters, it's impossible to hold them to an arc because they just go all willy-nilly and do whatever they want. But I feel like Rosemary has been pretty consistent with who she is throughout the show.
She's more nilly.
But somehow, in this episode, she goes from previous episodes of wanting to sell everyone a dress to make as much money as possible to, and I cannot overstate this, Santa Claus. She literally is just giving stuff away because that's who she is now. That is not the Rosemary of the past. It is the Rosemary of the present. That is all I got.
Let's get to Hopes and Valleys. Mm. Where we look to the future and talk about the things that are giving us hope and or bumming us out. Panda.
What's bumming me out is that I don't know what the next episode has because all the plot points minus Jack have been resolved. I will say what's exciting, my hope, is that we have some big events coming up in the next few episodes that will carry the rest of the season along, like the marriage, the pregnancy, and then our dear Jack dying. And so that's exciting.
Our dear Jack dying.
And then we get into a reset of sorts next season. So maybe that's something to look forward to. Something fresh.
You really stop selling.
Just
maybe it'll be better. I don't know.
My valley is there was no Carson in this episode. And I'm a Carson kid. I like Carson. I like him a lot. So
Carson kids. Listen,
the whole tonic. You're a big tonic feels. It was a dumb storyline, but I don't know. I liked it. So hope Carson's back.
And I forgot he was there.
My hope is that Jack will be in the next episode because I don't know how like. The more we get into season 5 without Jack, the more concerned I get about those episodes of wedding, death. It's all
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in years. We thought
they were going to like get to be married for a while, have a kid, like 2 seasons. No.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Remember when they got engaged with the candles?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that feels like forever ago. Yeah. It was like 3 episodes ago. Yeah.
No, he's been gone forever.
Oh, maybe it's longer. Oh, yeah, that was middle of the season. Should have been the end of the season, middle of the season. That's right. You know, I'm going to do mine together, if that's okay, Hope and Valley together. They say the night is always darkest before the dawn.
And who?
They do.
I hate them.
If that's the case, the next week is just going to be as bright as the surface of the sun because I feel like we are just layers deep in darkness. Like, we are just... It's pitch black, guys. I just can't see what left, right, up, or down is right now. I feel like I'm in a sensory deprivation tank, and I have been beaten into submission, and it's brutal. It's brutal. It's a tough spot to be in. And so I'm, you know, my only hope is that next week has to be better than this
week. It has to be. That's exactly right. Smolder, 0. Jack's not here.
Pocket watch, 0.
He's not here.
Shepherd's pie, 0. Out of here.
Man.
0.
Woof.
And that's how you know it's not a good episode. You need at least one of those.
Just to rate.
Just to rate.
Jack has to be on screen or Shepherd's pie.
Or pockets,
which is not going
to
happen.
I hate to see it.
We do have a what's calling my heart, though. We died. Robert murdered him and buried him out back.
Dude, 100% he did. And then he didn't remember doing it.
We do have a what's calling my heart. If you want to join in on that fun and tell us what's
didn't
calling
Robert
your heart.
Get in a fight with a girl?
Yeah, I believe so.
Man, Robert.
He's just a bee. He's a no good bee. He's a no good. What's calling my
heart? Robert.
No.
You can email us hello@deckthehallmark.com and tell us what's calling
you. Do it. You won't.
This week's email is from Fiona Furman. Fiona Furman.
Like Furman University?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong. Remember, some of these were written back in October, so if it seems dated, I don't know. I've not read this one yet. Okay. Hey, guys. How was your weekend? Gosh, Fiona.
It was actually a lot of
greetings
fun.
From the UK.
Wow.
Oh, I talk to Fiona occasionally on the Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah, she tweets me from time to time. Hi, Fiona. Good day. That's Australian. Go ahead. You want to try?
What's up, everybody?
Panda?
Get your stew out.
Your stew out.
Pop, pop, cheerio.
Pop, pop, cheerio. All right. Hope you feel at home now, Fiona.
Stew.
My best friend, Colette. And I discovered
it's Colette.
Yeah, I knew. I was waiting.
Colette.
Don't forget Colette.
Oh, Colette.
Colette.
All right. And I discovered you almost a year ago and have been obsessed ever since. At work, I'm very much enjoying dropping Deck the Hallmark phrases into conversation. Oh, like I can imagine that's going well like in British. So I'm live.
My pants. Hey, boss, you forgot something. My pants.
You can't say that like that. That sounds awful.
Oh, yeah,
awful.
That sounds dirty. Yeah. Sorry.
Done it.
Sorry, Fiona.
Dill holes and everything. Let's see. Into conversation, including telling my managing director this week that we were in a both and sitch.
Oh yeah,
he just stared at me.
It's a both and sitch,
man. In British accent, that's brutal. Right. I love it. I love it, Fiona. Right. I've never watched a single episode of When Calls the Heart, as we don't seem to get it over here.
Oh.
So what's really calling my heart is Colette's unrivaled commitment to Hallmark fabulousness. I arrived at her new house yesterday for an evening of Hallmark movie fun, pizza, beer, and wine.
Yeah.
I was greeted by the glorious sight of a huge box bearing the legend Balsam Hill. They're using legend like the British would use it, the name. Balsam Hill. I could hardly breathe with excitement and envy. I don't know how expensive those things are in the USA, but over here, they are sold in Harrods. Harrods. She puts in all caps.
We talk about Harrods.
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 You go to Harrods. Pop in there.
Bothered. Anybody remember?
Julie Fallon?
Late night with Julie Fallon. Is Robert Pattinson in a tree?
Bothered. He always with a V there.
Bothered.
Already did that paragraph. We put it together, turned on the lights, and settled down to Christmas in Carolina. For the love. We were exhausted.
Hey, I'm glad it's over there. Yeah, I'm glad it's over there.
The Roku channel exists. We were exhausted from hysterical screaming and laughing. Man, it was so good for the soul. Anyway, having prayed on it, I looked into my heart and searched my soul, and I'm now ordering my own little piece of Hallmark awesomeness via Balsam Hill. Thank you so much for the enormous joy you give Colette and I, and for providing us with a whole new lexicon. Keep up the brilliant work. Lots of love, Fiona Furman. P.S. Please do Mrs. Miracle at some point. It's my favorite spelled with an O-U-R-I-T-E,
wow.
Just like the King's English intent.
That's right.
Fiona, what an email. God bless you. Thank you so much.
She's such a lexicon, man. They're just smarter over there.
They're smarter over there.
My trousers.
Bothered. My trousers.
That's what they
say. Don't give me knickers.
Oh, that's borderline.
He'll be gone.
Watch him out over there.
We'll be back. Signed, sealed, delivered, everybody. Episode 1 of the television program. Let's see what happens tomorrow here on Deck the Hallmark. Until then,
Deck the Hallmark's a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.